Coming up.
The new Tesla is hands-free and parks itself, but keep your hands on the wheel.
Stay plugged in and cut through the static. This is Tech News Briefing from The Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos. Tesla has begun distributing an advanced set of autonomous driving features. Although it's not a fully driverless system due to regulatory and safety concerns, it will be available for 50,000 Model S cars, with owners in the U.S. likely to get the features first. Joining the Tech News Briefing now is Wall Street Journal reporter Mike Ramsey. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, nice to be here.
So before we get into the specific driverless features, how will this work exactly? This is software that you can download into your car, basically, correct?
Yeah, Tesla downloaded through its wireless internet connection, which is on all of their vehicles, a new software that enables a bunch of technology on their car. What I want to step back for a second and say one of the things that makes Tesla set apart from other automakers, really, I think their biggest differentiator is that their cars are designed essentially to be mobile computing platforms, a lot like your smartphone. They're all connected to the internet, and they're constantly updated through software downloads. And other cars really can't do this.
And can you talk a little bit about the specific features and how drivers will be using them?
The car effectively can handle a lot of the driving duties on the highway. That's primarily where I think most people will use this. It either in stop-and-go traffic, you know, you can come all the way to a stop. The car, you set a speed like a cruise control speed. But if there's a car stopped in front of you, you know, it's not going to run into the other car. It will keep a distance between it. It'll handle all that driving. It'll keep you in the middle of your lane, even through curves. And, it won't let you crash or spill out of your lane. For the highway, it really is going to be a big convenience factor, it's pretty advanced. And there are other cars out there that do have some of these features, but they take pieces of it. They have limitations for speed, they have limitations for other things that they won't do. This kind of pulls in together what a lot of car makers are starting to introduce and puts them in one package.
I see. And obviously, you know, as you were saying, there are some restrictions and regulations that need to be put in place because it can't be fully driverless. Can you talk a little bit more about the precautions that they're taking?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think that Tesla initially thought that they were going to do this, but I test drove the vehicle, and one thing that's really clear is after 10 seconds with your hand off the vehicle, you are required to put your hand back on, and it'll start beeping at you, say, hey, you know, check in, put your hand back on the wheel. So you put your hand back on the wheel for a second, and then you can let go again. If you don't do that, the car will start slowing down pretty quickly. Not like slamming the brakes, but it'll start slowing down. If you're going 60 miles an hour, you'll be slow to 50, then 40, then 30. And I think that the idea behind it is the car is designed, if you're having a heart attack or, you know, something's happened, you've fallen asleep, the car is designed to slow down, come to a stop. Safely. And that's a clear nod to regulators, because if they didn't have that feature in, it would be easy on a long drive to just pluck open your iPad and, you know, read a book while the car was driving down the road. And they don't want to do that yet, because that would basically put it in a different category of autonomous vehicle, which in some states like California, where most of their cars are sold in the U.S., that would actually require special licensing and registration, and really might not even be legal at all.
Now, when you got behind the wheel, how user-friendly would you say it was? Did you feel comfortable with did they make things very accessible, in other words?
Yeah, it's really easy to use. I think that where people are going to take some adjustment is knowing what it does and what it won't do. You know, that's kind of hard to know at first. I think it works really well in heavy bumper-to-bumper traffic. It works really well in light traffic. Where people are going to have anxiety at first to see how well it works, it will be in medium traffic, where there's a lot of the traffic is moving along, but there are a lot of cars. And, you know, cars that cut in front of you, cars that make, you know, drivers do stupid things. I'm sure you've seen it happen where someone comes from the left lane across in front of you to the right lane. You might know that this driver is going to do that maneuver and might not panic brake, but a computer is going to say, hey, oh my gosh, this person's right in front of me, and it hit the brakes really hard. And so I think that there will be some time where it takes some adjustment, and the people probably won't feel totally comfortable using it in all situations, certainly in poor weather. It can't handle turns. It can hurt curves, but like if you come to an intersection, the car's not going to turn left for you. It can't recognize stop signs. It can't recognize stop lights. So if you're going down the road and there's a stoplight, if it's red, you better hit the brakes because it's going to just keep going.
Right. Wow. Mike Ramsey, thanks so much for the time today.
No problem.
For more information, be sure to check out Mike's article at WSJD.com. That'll do it for the Tech News Briefing. Remember to follow us at WSJ Podcasts on Twitter, subscribe to us on iTunes, and check us out at WSJ.com/podcasts. For the Tech News Briefing, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.